B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a huge Sixers game tonight. Anytime they play the Celtics, it's a big game, and tonight is another example of that. And on the line with us to break it down a little further is our good friend, who I will, I believe I will see tomorrow night, Mr. Mark Jackson from NBC Sports Philadelphia. What's up, Mark?
What's up, fellas? What's up? Now, hold on. Now, you know, we got to start it off.
What's up?
You told everybody on your station that you was going to be at the studio and I can get a jersey.
That's correct.
But apparently, and you didn't show up, by the way, but apparently, you said something like, oh, I was there and he wasn't there. Dude, I got like 50, literally. 50 DMs like, yo, Mark said he was there.
No.
Swear to God.
Not your fault.
I was like, bro, Wayne wasn't there.
They're
like, yeah, but he said he did. You weren't there.
I said I missed you. I apologize for the DMs, Mark. I really do. This is my fault. 100% my responsibility. I got to do a better job of getting that jersey from you to Trey and then back to you.
We're going to get it done.
Now, are you working Friday?
Yes, sir, I am.
I'll see you tomorrow night. I will see you tomorrow night, and if you don't, it is my fault.
Okay, bet.
We're going to get this done. I promise you. This much I guarantee. Mark, did you hear the comments from Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal about our boy Joel Embiid?
Yes, I did.
What did you make of those comments?
Okay, so before I say what I made of the comments, I need to say this. It's funny how some people in the media feel as though that people who did the actual sport are not allowed to be critical. I listened to somebody yesterday on the radio saying, they Charles Barkley and Shaq criticized them, but they didn't give no advice. Yes, they did. There's lots of advice in there. If you played the game before, you will understand it. So what I mean by that is what Charles and Shaq were saying is like, yes, you had 22-10. Yeah, that's good. That's average. That's average. That's average for a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid is not an average good player. He is a changer. He is a player at his decade. He's the rarest. He's the real unicorn. The skills he has to do. He has set the bar so high that all they were saying is, we see you had 22%. Play harder. That's what the message was. So for some people, some of us media people who never played the game at a high level and could criticize Charles and Shaq for being critical, but spitting the truth is not right and is not cool. What Charles and Shaq specifically was saying, We see you got 22%, but you're better than that. Play harder, and it will come easier. That's what that piece of advice they was offering him. That's what it was. You know, so what they said was accurate. Yes, Joel had 22-10, but he didn't. He should have had 30-15 because he's capable of doing that.
Mark, I'm with you.
Joel is not an average player. He's a superstar. And he could have had superstar type numbers.
We're speaking with Mark Jackson, former Sixer, former Temple Owl, current NBC Sports Philadelphia Sixers pre- and post-game analyst. But when it comes to this guy, when it comes to Joel Embiid, anything they said, I feel like we've said on this very show, Mark, I know you've said it.
Yes.
It's not about being an all-star. It's about being an MVP candidate. And that's what we want to see from Joel Embiid.
Yes. We see it. See, I don't know. Okay, maybe Charles. I don't know if Shaq watches majority of the Sixers games, he's all over.
Right.
But maybe Charles may watch a little more. But people who watch these games every day or majority of the time, we see that how great Joel Embiid is. We know he's a star. He's a big time player. So yes, 22-10 is good, but everyone like you guys, like myself, we want more because he's capable of more. We're not asking him to fly. We just ask him to jump over a mountain. Because we feel as though he's capable of doing that. So we have seen what he's done. You have said this. Y'all have said this plenty of times. We want to see more of Joel because he's capable of it. Y'all not asking him for something he's not capable of doing. Those are facts.
Mark, what's holding him back from being that superstar each and every night? Is it more physical or is it more mental?
I think it's a combination of both. I say this. And I say this and I say it again. Joel Embiid, he came into camp, he said 25 pounds lighter, right? But when I watch the tapes, and I'm a basketball junkie, guys, I watch the tapes. When I watch the tapes, I think it's instances where Joel can play harder. That's just a fact to me.
Mm-hmm.
I see instances when he can play harder. And that's mental to me. Is he tired? Is he physically beat up? Yeah, he's beat up, but I don't think he's fatigued. His minutes are down around 30, which is probably the lowest in his career so far. So his minutes are down. He's not playing LeBron minutes. He's playing 40 minutes a game, 42 minutes a game. I think he's capable of playing harder. And that's just mentally telling yourself, yo, I got to go harder. And he admitted it. He admitted, like, you know, I've been kind of chilling or what. I don't know the exact phrase he used. But he said it himself. I need to play harder. He said, I need to kind of, not to have fun thing. I mean, see, he said this 2 or 3 weeks ago about how he was kind of letting the game come to him. He needs to take control. He said this. So even he sees it.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Speaking with Mark Jackson, NBC Sports Philadelphia. So big matchup tonight. Another Sixers test for them, playing the Celtics. Obviously, things went the Sixers' way earlier in the season with the first game of the year. How do you think this game plays out tonight against the Celtics?
Now, I think this is going to be a very intriguing game because when the Sixers decided to go larger with Al Horford at the 4, Tobias at the 3, Boston was the complete opposite. They said, you know, we're going to do with Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, we're going to go extreme small ball, where they literally have a point guard and 3 shooting guards at the 2, 3, and the 4. And they just plug in and play at the 5. So what's interesting about that to me is it's a class of styles like 2 boxers. One's a brawler, one's a dancer. Who's going to win? And I think the 76ers overpower Boston. They outmanned them. They physically beat them up in the first game, and he was able to walk through that, which is interesting to me. Even though Gordon Hayward has been out, now he's back. Boston had developed chemistry quicker than the Sixers, and a team who developed chemistry the quickest normally goes on a roll, the soonest. So Boston did that. That's why they're up high in the standings. They were rolling because they developed the chemistry. But I still say this, and I said it on air after the Toronto game, and I'll say it again. When the end of the season get here, it's even Milwaukee, there's no team that's going to stand in Sixers' way. They just need time. Boston clicked sooner. They got to roll quicker. But this is a battle of styles. You got a heavyweight that likes a brawl, and you got a heavyweight like Larry Holmes who likes to dance around the ring. Who's going to win?
Right. No, I love that. Mark Jackson. The other thing here is Ben Simmons got challenged by his coach, Brett Brown, to shoot at least 1 3 and go to the foul line at least 8 times. That's really still has yet to happen since that challenge was issued by his head coach. What do you make of that?
Listen, here we go. Oh, man, we got a good topic today, guys.
Yeah, we got me and you fighting over a jersey, and we got Ben Simmons not shooting threes.
Exactly. Listen, we needed this. We needed him to put it out to the world because we all know as basketball people that's what he needs to do. He doesn't need to make it, but he needs to shoot him. He needs to get to the free throw line and put pressure on the opposing team to make this team better and to make him a better overall player. And we was all wondering. I wonder if Brett Brown is telling him this. So now that Coach Brett Brown has put it out to the world, that's Brett Brown's way of putting added pressure on Ben Simmons to do what he probably has been telling them to do behind closed doors. I truly love that Brett Brown put it out to the world. He put it out so we all know. Well, at least we know the coach is telling him to do it, so will he do it?
Right.
It is for the benefit of the team as well as himself. It needs to be done for this team to really be the elite team in the NBA.
Mark, Joel Embiid put something out there, and he said that he's not having fun and he needs to get back to that, but he also said that some of his immature stuff has been cut. What do you think he meant by that, and how do you think that all played out and is going to play out?
See, I was interested. I was really curious about that because he said my fun cousin cut. Does he mean maybe Elton Brand or Prince Royce approached him and said, "Yo, we need you to be more of a leader. We need you to be kind of locked in and kind of get rid of that on Twitter antics." I mean, is he referring to that, or is he referring to he not having enough fun playing on the court? If when I watched the world play on the court. I think he's playing a little different this year, and I said it a couple of minutes ago. I think he's maybe something's bothering him on the court where he's not going as hard for certain reasons, or he's just his mind is not locked in like it has been in previous years. I didn't know how my mind went all over the place when he said that. Was he in reference to I need to start talking about people on Twitter again? Do I need that, or what was going on? I think, and then I went back to the cat thing. Maybe he got such negative, which he did. He got such negative reviews from his antics after the cat during the cat fiasco that maybe he took it to heart a little too much the opposite way, and instead of rocking that fine line, he kind of dialed it down too much. And he's like, "Yo, I'm dialing it down too much. Maybe that could be it."
Mark, what motivated you when you played?
I always looked at it like this. I grew up in a house with no heat and no running water. I was playing basketball. What else could be greater than that? I grew up in a drug-infested home, drug-infested community. Why, I have to play hard because I know how the other half lives because that's where I came from. Do I want to go back there? No. I couldn't run. I couldn't jump. My thing was, I'll rip your damn head off to get that offense rebound. I'll fight for a wall to do that help side D. That was my goal. So I played with a scowl on my face, with this mean look on my face. People like today, people still, oh, I thought you was psycho. It was me locked in, me being focused, me wanting to be, to get the maximum I can out of my body and my game. So that's why I played so hard, because of that. So my motivation was I did not want to live the way I grew up. That's why I play hard like that.
My man. Mark Jackson, always great catching up with you. I will see you tomorrow. I'm going to get that jersey.
One name is William Felder Sr. in New Jersey. He was like, oh, he said he was there. You was there, Mark.
I think he's leaving out the key words there. I said you weren't there yet. You weren't there yet because I left early because I went home and took a nap. But I will see you. I will see you tomorrow night.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, guys.
You too. Mark Jackson, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.